angry.
It is.
What are you so tight about?
Okay. Good evening, gentlemen.
We lost the war.
We're beginning the next perek in the Rambam. Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chavov, Halacha Aleph, Chapter 26, Law 1. We are continuing the laws of Muktzah. One more chapter on Muktzah, just to give you a little. The next two chapters after that, 27, 28, is about Tchumim, Erev Tchumim, to be able to go beyond the 2,000 limit. And then Kiddush, Havdalah, and other things about Shabbos.
Okay, nice, so there's another
nice pleasant ending to the Rambam. So hopefully, my guesstimation is before Shavuos, we will finish Hilchos Shabbos, and we can restart.
14 months?
No. When did we start?
March.
March, okay, a little more than a year. A little more than
some
a year.
Time for the next shipment.
Yes.
Do we know what we're learning?
I don't know. Whatever you guys want to learn. If you still want to hang out with the Rambam? We can.
Yeah,
well, if you want to finish Moed, Zmanim, Zmanim. There's the book of the Rambam, the 14 books. One is called Zmanim. We already did Nezikin. We did the whole Nezikin. Right. Zmanim. Starts with Shabbos, but it continues with Erevin is next, which is a killer.
What is that?
It's all about laws of Erev.
Didn't we have that?
A little bit. Now we're going to get into the real laws of Erev. But it's eight chapters. Eight chapters, Erevin. Then we go to Yom Kippur, and then we go to other holidays.
We could do that fast, couldn't we?
Yes, we could do that fast. So we'll see. We'll see.
I know it doesn't beat this talent.
We could do other aspects of Zmanim, because in your English you've got different. You know, Martin, this isn't the whole Zmanim. This volume, it's only the first half of it. But anyway, we will see. We'll okay, if you want to continue the Rambam, we will continue.
Yom
no
Kippur,
problem.
Because we get to it. How long would it take to do?
To do what?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur is very short. Yom Kippur is very short. It's only three chapters.
Oh, I see.
It's mamash short. It's three chapters. So I'll have to look and see what the English Rambams,
right,
how they divide up, what goes with that. But Erevin is going to be really
tough. But you don't really have that much time.
Maybe do Erevin this summer when guys are on vacation. So then
no,
you know.
It was the hardest.
The Erevin from the Gemara.
Yeah. All right. Anyway,
it was the hardest part
of this.
It was this part, and you guys
hung in there.
Listen, not everything is easy in Rambam. You know, we're going to have to eventually get to the hard stuff. So, anyway,
we haven't yet.
Relatively, this is relatively
easy. Some
of
the Zikin concepts of that.
Okay, Aleph. Continuing with the ideas of Muktza. Let's switch this over here. Okay, Kol Klei Ha'oreg. All utensils that are used with a weaver, okay, v'chavalav, and the cords, v'kanim shelo, and the reeds of them, mutar letalton, you can carry. Remember this picture? And Shelly, remember emailed me?
Oh,
you,
yes.
Whatever you did, you scanned it, emailed it. But anyway, all these pieces to this weaver's loom may be carried on Shabbos as what kind of a kli? Kechli shemalachto le'isser. Like utensil. I'm sorry?
Kanim
are reeds. Reeds that are used in there. I don't know exactly where they use reeds.
Yeah, they use it to take the thread through.
Could be. But all these materials in here, you can carry them as a kli shemalachdu le'isr, which can only be carried what? Letzorach gufo, letzorach makomo. For its use and for the space. Not for its use, but for the...
The space it takes up.
That and for a positive use.
Right.
And for positive
another use.
But not to save it from destruction, right? And not obviously for Aveirah. Couldn't weave with it. But chutz, except there is an exception. Mikoved ha elyon, the higher beam, the koved ha tachton, and the lower beam. What is that? So, as we look in this picture over here, you have right over here this round thing, this round pole that goes right through all the way across. That's the lower beam, and this pole over here. There's a pole here that goes right through there. That's called the higher beam. What they call this, the koved. See right here, English calls it the koved. So again, we can see. So this beam, now you got these major things that go to the side, but this beam goes across here and one beam. So this is the higher one. It's the Kovod HaElyon, and that's the Kovod HaTachton. All right? So, and that really is the parts of the loom that go back and forth. One starts the kris, and the other one starts the cross. You notice at the top over here, the things go down, and from over here, it starts the crossing the other way. Mm-hmm. So that's called that kovod. So those you can't move. Why? Lefi she'ein nitolin. They cannot be moved, because they're in a fixed position between the poles that are on the other side, and they're very heavy also. Kovod also means heavy. They're very heavy beams, and they're already affixed in the position against the big poles, and therefore we clearly are not going to be using it for anything else, and it doesn't have even the status of a kli, of a utensil, for any other possible use at all, as opposed to a hammer and other things. You could find some kind of use for them. Everything else, somehow you could use a use for it. But these are so heavy that they're just not movable, and you're not going to use them for anything. So even if you want to carry them, you can't, because they are tekuim, they are fixed in between the poles. V'chein ha'amudim shel oreg osur l'taltalom. Similarly, the amudim are the big posts on both sides. On one side is a big post here, and on the other side there should be another post, although in the picture they're not showing to you, but it would be on the other end of
pillars,
the beams.
You see here.
Yeah. A pillar, okay. But it goes all the way. In other words, basically you've got two pillars that go across, and then you got these two kovods that join them at the top and at the bottom. So that you cannot move either. Why? Shami yasakin ha-gumishlem. Because they dig into the ground. And if you're going to move them, you're going to make more of a hole, and we're afraid you may move the earth. And then you come making holes, and that would be binyan. It was like building. It's in a house. It would be just like you can't dig holes in a house. It's building. When you're moving them around, it could make more holes into it, and you may be building with that. So you can't move that. But usha'ar klei ha'oreg, but all the other utensils of the weaver's loom, mutarim, can be moved, because there's no other issues. And if you can find some kind of permitted use with this, you can use it with a permitted use. Okay. That, I don't think, is going to be too nogea for us.
Is there a practical application, the principle that...
Or even at the time,
I guess anything that's too big to move.
Too fixed.
Any onerous contraptions that you have in your house that have many multiple pieces, and if it's possible to take out some pieces, they wouldn't be moved. I just don't offhand. Can't think of any simple utensils. Everything is now so circuited, like it's all one piece now. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what is like.
How about a crib or something like that?
You could have a gym, a little portable gym.
Okay,
you
well,
could have a, you
there's nothing muksa about a crib to begin with.
Or what would be the purpose?
It must be something that does a malacha. Something that does a malacha.
A gym. You could take a weight out and use it as a trivet on a Shabbos table. Like a piece of iron.
A Nautilus.
I mean, it could be, yeah.
If the wrench is.
Okay, maybe. Okay. We'd have to think about that. Okay. I wasn't thinking so much. I just wanted to go on. But that's okay. It's okay. I mean, it's good you're thinking. Okay. Base. Now let's move on to something a little more practical. Machbados shel tmara. Brooms that are used for sweeping that come from a tmara, from a date palm tree. In other words, you have the word machbados has many meanings over here, but it's the branches that come out of the palm trees that they hang from them. And they're called machbados because the fruits hang from them, and that's heavy, and it makes that that part of the palm tree like weigh down, so it's called weighted. And also it's used lekabed, which also means to sweep. So I guess it's from the palm branches that you make a broom from them. Ukiyasa and similar items like that, shemachabim asakarka, that you sweep the ground. They're considered klisha malachto laheter for permitted use. Why? You're allowed to sweep the floor on Shabbos in a place where there's no concern that you'll make holes, like a linoleum floor or a wooden floor, as opposed to what? A
earth floor
and a carpeted floor where it's possible there could be problems there. So since there are some places you cannot sweep, with a broom, but there are many places you may sweep with a broom. So therefore it's defined as a klisha malacht or laheter, and therefore it's not muktza. Okay, and this should be, I didn't look it up, but I'm sure it should be here. Brooms, 29. Brooms whose bristles do not break with use, such as nylon or synthetic bristles, and which are used only indoors on floored surfaces, e.g. tile, wood, and the loam floors, are not muktz at all. Okay? Because it has a permitted use. Even though there sometimes it's prohibited, if you use it in the wrong places, but that's not going to be called a prohibited use. Because it can be used completely permitted. So the difference is, if your broom is out in the backyard and it's raining on the broom, you can bring it in, because it's a klisha malachta laheter, not a klisha malachta lisser. So that's very practical.
Does it matter whether your house has allowable floors or not?
Doesn't matter, because it well, you have to know. Because
if you only had carpeting,
I don't know if it's everywhere. Oh, then I guess it might be muktza insofar as you know you're not going to use it on Shabbos. Yes.
Carpeted washroom.
But it's usually there. It's got to be some area of the house that's not carpeted.
You're not sweeping the
kitchen.
House,
kitchen does not have a carpet. I cannot believe anyone has a carpeted kitchen. So I don't think.
Those indoor
outdoor. What?
My aunt did many years ago.
Really?
Those indoor outdoor. You know those indoor outdoor.
A carpeted kitchen?
Yeah, it was a special carpet here. Didn't last long.
Yeah, I can't imagine. But anyway, so that is a klisha malachto lehetzer, because you're allowed to use the broom at Shabbos. Okay, levanim shenisharu, bricks that are left over from a construction site. You brought a million bricks, you built the house, and there were like 8, 10, 15 bricks left over. So what's going to be their status, and you don't plan on using them for any more brickwork, and they're left in your house outside. Harehen kechlisha malachta laheter. They have the status of a kechlisha malachta laheter. Why? They should ruin losevelam. They're worthy to recline on them. Shere shofin osom, because people can fill up, I guess, the holes of the bricks or whatever. Umesaknosom, fix them up and make them to be some kind of a very stiff chaise lounge chair. Hmm? Right? In other words, some kind of way to, you know, you have just like a park bench that's made out of brick, right? You know, I guess a stone brick. So they just have to make a few little repairs to it, and it'll be a thing. Now, v'im tzavar osan, but what if he gathers them up and piles them up in a neat way, which really kind of says, well, I'm going to probably either send it back to the guy and return what's left or whatever. Hare hikson, he has already designated them that they're going to go back for some kind of construction use. Vasotal, you cannot carry. So basically, what he'll do with it after the construction is over, that will determine what that use will be for it. And if you're leaving it around in a way that can easily be converted into to some kind of furniture, then it is not muktzah. Okay, Gimel. Cheres ketana, a small piece of shard, small piece of earthenware utensil. We're talking about where utensil has broken, and you have small pieces of the earthenware. So now, mutar l'taltan afilu b'rishus harabim, can carry them even rishus harabim. Obviously, in rishus harabim, only less than 4 amos, not more than that, but he's saying you can even carry it. Why? Hol hu ru'uyin hei b'chetzer l'chatzus bo pi kli kotten. Since they are fit to be used in a chotzer, in a courtyard, to cover up the mouth of a small utensil, right? It's because since it was originally a utensil, remember we've already discussed this issue, it was originally a utensil, and therefore it's remaining as part of a utensil, because it can cover up a thing, then you can use that, as opposed to something that's not a kli, like stones or rocks, even though they could be used to cover up a utensil, but you can't because you're not, generally not going to use it for that. But something that was part of an earthenware utensil was a utensil, even though it breaks, it can still retain being a utensil as you can use it to cover up a small utensil. Similarly, magufas chovishenis, also a stopper of a barrel that's been cut. You have the stopper. In the olden days, you had the stopper and you put all that kind of smeared tar or whatever, pitch, you know, to connect the stopper to the earthenware utensil. So the stopper that's been cut, you broke open the top. The stopper that's been cut, ushvareh, and the broken pieces of the top of the pitcher, mutar l'taltan, you can carry them, because they are also worthy to cover up a small utensil. However, V'im zroko la'ashma v'od yom. What if you threw it into the garbage can before Shabbos? Okay, you're talking about a broken utensil and throwing it into the garbage can before Shabbos. Then also a talta, you can't carry it because at that point you said, I do not plan on that being a utensil. However, what if it broke on Shabbos? Since on Shabbos when it came, it was a perfect utensil, even though you throw it in, that's all, you can take it out because it was never really made muksa before Shabbos. And similar, it's all the same halachas. Kli shenis ro'ea, a utensil that has broken, but not into itty bitty pieces. Lo yitlosh mimenu cheres l'chasos bo olismabo. You can't pull out pieces of shard from it to cover it or to rest on it. Why? He does not explain. It could be you may still want to use it for the utensil itself. It wasn't broken up into bits. It broke, but not to pieces. So therefore, it still might be part of the original thing. I don't know, my commentator didn't say it in the English, didn't explain it, so we'd have to.
Maybe because it's still attached, then you'd be actually separated.
Maybe. It doesn't say, so we only can guess on that. Okay, Dalit.
Is it fair to say that anything thrown in the garbage, before Shabbos you can't use?
Right. No.
It is fair to say that.
No.
No?
He said anything.
Right.
Anything.
If you throw in the garbage,
anything means everything.
Yes.
So again, let's review what we said. When the owner throws out a broken utensil into the garbage for Shabbos, that broken utensil is muktzah.
Right.
Because by throwing it away, you demonstrate you don't want to use it. Right. Right? Now, but here's where you said anything.
Right.
Owner throws away any whole utensil, yes, which is not broken, but he throws away, we do not classify the utensil as muktzah.
Really? Because I thought when you
it's a perfectly good one, but it's old and you don't want to use it anymore. That doesn't. It's still a utensil. It's a whole. Wow. It's a functioning. You have a nice cup. It's a little bit out of style, and you put it in the garbage can. But it's perfectly functional. It's not broken. It's 100% good.
Friday night, you there, need it
if
all
you
of a sudden?
If you discard a whole unbroken either before on Shabbos or before, you can remove it from the garbage
on Shabbos.
Yes.
So it's right? Not
an unbroken utensil, even if discarded, does not become muktzah.
Can use it again.
Okay. Because it really is a good utensil.
That is the question I wanted to ask.
That really is a good utensil.
Even though it appears that you've said you don't want to use it on Shabbos.
You made the decision before Shabbos, yeah.
You're making an answer for yourself?
No. This is if it's not broken. If it's broken, that's a different story.
No, I understand that. The question was specifically,
It's a good utensil. It's a perfectly good utensil. So you don't want to use it, fine. But
I thought anything that you designated.
Listen, what happens when you take to the side of the road things you want to throw out and they're perfectly good? A bicycle you don't plan on using anymore. What happens? 10 minutes later, someone takes it.
Right.
So it's very usable. Just because you don't want to use it, there's a lot of people.
But could
be.
Can it be prohibited for you and usable?
What it says here.
Let's say you have a cup. The cup is 100% perfect. It's a cliche malach leather. You put it in the garbage. So what?
But it's a perfectly good. Seems
number
10. Although it is useful since it's only discarded before the commencement of Shabbos, there was no intent of using it on Shabbos.
That's broken. That's when it's broken. If it's broken already, now you have to want to make it good. So we say, okay, we could use a little piece to cover up something, this and that. We can assume as long as you haven't thrown it out yet, you might want to use it. Once you're in the garbage, you've taken a broken thing, you're finalizing saying it's broken. Mm-hmm. But if it's a perfectly good utensil, so why should it be considered muksa? It's very useful. You can't say it's not. You can't just say, you know, what if you got a cup in your house, a perfectly good cup. Say, you know, I don't plan on using that cup this Shabbos. That doesn't make it muksa. It doesn't make it muksa unless it's very expensive. That's very different. You would never think of using that except that. Even then, that's not so pushy. We said, you could really, it could still be used. So, if it's perfectly good, it doesn't make it muksa.
Because in that case, a rich person would use it. So there would be someone who would use
it. Yeah, and in your case, a poor person would use it.
Right.
What you consider muksa, somebody else would use it.
So it's not
a poor guy would walk away and say, hey, well, a perfectly good cup, what are you throwing it out for? It could be used. So he would use
muksa
it.
Muksa isn't person specific, it's either muksa.
It depends, but. It depends. If it's broken, then
no,
it becomes
broken.
But other mooks, it's not. Right, exactly. Okay, Dawit. Here's a very interesting scenario. Mutter lahachnis lebeis hakise sholosh avonim mikur zolos lekanech bohem. A person, when he enters the bathhouse, they did not have Kleenex in those days. They didn't have toilet paper. They were very economic, what do you call it? Not economic. Environmentally conscious. So what you did is you used stones to wipe yourself.
You didn't have to worry about tearing those.
So now, so you're allowed to bring into the washroom three stones. Now, normally, stones cannot be carried, right? And really, you can't. Let's say the guy's gone to the, now what you really should have is designated stones before Shabbos. Yeah. So have your own designated stones that I'm going to use. So now, the guy, whatever, he lost his stones, he's in a new place, whatever, I don't know. Anyway, he's going outside, he says, I got a big problem, I don't have any stones. So he can go and pick up three stones that are Let me finish first. That are makur zolos, that are rounded stones, because if they're jagged, it could be very injurious to you. So they got to be rounded stones to wipe yourself. Now, obviously, why are you allowed to carry those stones? Those were mamish 100% muktzah before Shabbos. The answer is kovid abrius. It's honor for humanity, and that pushes off an iser derabbanan. Remember, muktzah is only rabbinically prohibited. God didn't say it's muktzah. Okay, number one. But the rabbi said it's muktzah, and the rabbis have good reason to say it's muktzah. If you're going to start carrying stones, you're not going to be caring about Shabbos. But here you're talking about a guy who's going to be having problems, right? Dignity problems. And dignity is a very important thing, that the rabbis are not going to create problems to diminish our dignity. If we have a biblical issue, then that's a different story. You know? If let's say LaMarshall, someone has a biblical shatness on, he's wearing shatness in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he has to disrobe himself in the public, right? But if it's rabbinic shatness, then he doesn't. So similarly here, it's only a rabbinic issue, and kavod abrius, human dignity takes precedence, mm-hmm. So he can carry those rocks.
Do we have to go that far? Or can't we say it has a Shabbos purpose?
It was muktzah before Shabbos. There's a million stones in your backyard.
Oh, I see.
Can you carry those stones on Shabbos?
Okay, because they weren't designated.
They're all, as Shabbos came into the world, all those stones out in the backyard were muktzah.
Shabbos used for them?
Then you realize,
well, there's a Shabbos use, you just
on Shabbos, hey, I don't have my stones.
Like,
I need stones.
People used to cut the toilet paper before. This is the gathering of stones, and somebody forgot to gather them.
So you can have like three-ply stones.
That's right. Three. I don't know the union of the three. I guess you can't get it all in one shot. You can't get it all in one shot.
Right?
I guess three would do it.
So now, you couldn't carry that. There's no error. You couldn't do this.
Well, then I guess you just do what you do on. Well, you could carry it less than 4 amos to where you have to go.
Three stop.
Okay. Anyway, but now the question is: Vekamish Urin. How much volume can those three stones be? Can they be this big? How big? So it says, Kimlo Yad, what fills your hand.
At some point, it's not useful.
Okay. Now, what about, you don't have any rocks, but you got clods of dirt you want to use as the stone. Aval adoma shi krovali sparech, but earth that is very liable to crumble up. Also letaltal, you can't take that. Because it's not fit lekanechwa, it's not fit for cleaning, because it's going to be a bigger mess than you start off with. Now, what if for whatever reason, I don't know why, you need to go up to the roof to take care of your business over there, and that's already a tircha, that's already more of exhausting labor. Umutul lahalos avanim legag lekanechwa. You can even go onto the roof to clean yourself, even though that is an extra bother. We allowed it again for kavod abrius. It pushes off any rabbinic problems. Now, what if you got your rocks over there and yordu aleim geshamim? Before you needed to go to the bathroom, rain came down. These rocks were on the ground and it rains. Vinishtak vatit. And now the stones are like stuck in the mud over there. So now can you take them out of the mud? This is already, it's not just lying on the mud. It's like integrated into the mud.
Stuck in there
could be some issues here. So Imri Shuma Nikr, if you can tell that the stone is still outside of the earth, you can spot the stone and it's not totally embedded in the ground, mutar l'taltel, you can carry them. What is the issue over here? Because if they're totally embedded, there could be a problem of digging holes in the ground or whatever. There could be other side issues. But if they're not totally embedded, you can carry them, and there's no other side issue.
So the rocks have been soiled.
Yes. Now, the next halacha, I'm not exactly clear what the next line is saying. Evan sheyeshal etinuf, a stone that has filth in it, Shavari lekarecha, certainly was used for cleaning. Mutu latalt, you can carry it. Even if it's big. I guess what he means is it's already been used. So it's already been designated for pre-Shabbos use. Yes. Then I guess there's no restriction on size. The
question is, why would you want to carry it?
You're desperate.
It's
used on one side of the rock,
desperate.
Not on the other side
rock.
Of the rock. But anyway, it's clearly been designated as a rock. So I guess that's what the halacha is saying. Now, one point the Mishnah Berurah says. So now, of course, Mark wants to know what's the practical benefit of this.
This is practical.
Well, I think we'll get a little more practical.
You don't need enough camping.
Now, how about regular paper? Regular blank paper is generally considered muksa because it's usually used for other things. What if you don't have toilet paper and now you've got other kinds of paper?
You can use it.
Well, you got notebook paper. You're really stuck now, okay? And I don't think you want to use rocks, right? So you don't have any toilet paper, you don't have any tissues, you've got newspaper, okay? Could you use newspaper?
Newspaper, right? Does it matter if it's got writing on it?
Whatever, okay.
The rabbi said blank.
Oh, I meant blank. Okay, better. In other words, something you would normally be muktzah. Blank paper, for example, is muktzah on Shabbos. It has no use because you only would use it to write on it. So if you have blank paper, even though you did not designate it, that would be allowed. That's what he said. Since the purpose of the paper is used is clearly designated, it is not placed in this category. Okay.
So the reason for my question was...
Now, certainly you can carry toilet paper. Right, toilet paper is designated for that use. Those are like the rocks that you've designated. Then there's other issues. How you get around that issue? There's leniency.
It's not being cut.
You're right. So you don't cut it.
No, but is there use for it if it's not cut?
Yeah, just let it roll down and keep it rolling without cutting it. That's one way to get around that. Or you can azoy with shinui.
You
cut it like that, like this. You put the roll like this.
You can do that?
Go like this.
That's somewhere you never do in ordinary.
Let's say you're
using the roll. Well, that's where it'll tear, though.
Or you just leave the roll to go straight into the toilet. You know?
But if you didn't prepare using that roll because you ran out.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. That can be used on Shabbos. Yeah. There is some way. It is used for that use. You know? So there was a run on toilet paper. So it was you didn't expect to have such a run on it. So
my question about newspaper was slightly different from the way the rabbi answered. My concern was when you tear it, you're tearing writing. But,
okay, be careful not to tear it.
But is the issue that it's not muksa because it has a purpose of reading it?
Okay, I wasn't really thinking when I said newspaper. I meant blank paper.
But I'm just curious about newspaper.
Newspaper, if it's a kosher newspaper, you wouldn't be muksa.
But can you destroy it that way?
Use
for that purpose? Well, why not? This doesn't have any value. It doesn't really any
special
value.
Words of Torah that you're... We'll
okay, you're not going to use of words of Torah in a bathroom. Okay, let's just finish up. Can we finish up the halacha?
Maybe you could use that.
Okay, let's do one more. Hay relates. Hay relates to, you know, the old question. I won't say it.
Say it.
Hey, when I turn off the machine, I'll say it. Hey. Hayulafanov Srors Vheresh. Let's say you've got a rock, a small rock, that is muksa, and now you got one of those pieces of shard. Earthenware piece. You got an earthenware piece. Now I gotta pick which one should I use. Should I use a rock that's in the backyard that was muksa before Shabbos, or a shard that's not muksa because it'd be used to cover up the top of a bottle? So makaneach b'tzror, you clean yourself up with the shard because it's not really muksa, right? Now, the pottery, you can still use it even though, so again, hayfod tzror v'cher. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, again. Let me say it again. You use the rock. I meant to say use the rock. Because why the shard, it's muks, even though it's muksa, use the stone, you don't use the shard because the shard is sharp. And that would be a danger. But, but what if the shard was from the handle of a utensil and that is smooth? Then and use that because that was never a muksa. Why use a muksa one when you don't have to come on to taking that? What if you have a stone and you got grass? Now what do you choose from? So if the grass is soft and it won't hurt you, then you use them.
Not growing grass, though.
Well, we'll see in a minute. Vimlav, and if not, if they're hard, mikanech, but sure, use the stone because the grass will make more problems. Now, they did mention over here, what does it say over here? Since the grass is used for animal fodder, it's not considered muksa. So it's preferable to using that than to a stone. However, the Shulchan says that one can even use grass that's still attached to the ground, provided you don't pull it out. You sit on the grass and wipe as you move across. You could do that. The hands-free version. Right? That's how you would do that.
There's a law like that. Okay. You have to go hands-free.
Okay.